right now on VFN TV. This is the conclusion to Pastor John Kilpatrick's message, The Iniquity Drives. I think this is such an important message to be able to get to you. That's why we brought every part to you. This is the final part today on VFN TV right now.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Well, here we are. We're about to go to the final part of Iniquity Drives, the message by Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence. Such a timely message. I believe it's going to totally set you free. Let's join it now.
So Satan said, I'm not going to go to heaven the way God prescribed me to go to heaven. And that's how heresy is developed. Heresy is when you make up your own rules about how to get to heaven. You see, here's what's happening. Let me be honest with you. One thing that's happening in so-called religious circles today, where you got a lot of these big boys, these educated boys, and they think that Bible is antiquated and is no longer relevant, they stop reading the Bible and they stop preaching the Bible. So now they're making up their own rules. That is heresy. During the Brownsville revival, I had a preacher come up to me, and he's a name brand. If I called his name, everybody would know him. He said, can I talk to you for a moment in the daytime? I said, yeah. So I made an appointment. He came in to see me. He was crying his eyes out. Big, handsome guy. He said, Brother Kilpatrick, I came here because some of my people put a lot of pressure on me to come here. I didn't want to come, but he said, as soon as I got out of my car, in the parking lot, he said, I almost fell to the ground. The power of God was so strong. He said, I have really repented since I've been here. And he said, I'm so ashamed to tell you this, but he said, I haven't read my Bible in 20 years. And he had a powerful, thriving church. He said, the only time I ever go to the scriptures is whenever I get a sermon and I'm writing down things and I need to look up the scripture. And I'll open my Bible to get the scripture, but I haven't read my Bible in 20 years, and I haven't prayed in 20 years. But yet he had a powerful, thriving church. And if I called his name, you'd know him. And he fell on my shoulder, and he cried his eyes out. So what happens to a pastor like that? If you're not reading your Bible and you're not preaching the word, then you're moving into heresy, where you're going to introduce now your thoughts to a congregation and not God's thoughts. And so Satan said, I will go up. I'm going to ascend into heaven my own way. I'm not going to ascend into heaven the way he said. I'm going to go on my own conditions. And that's where you come up with all these crazy doctrines that will damn your soul. Number two, he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now, what does that mean? That's found in Galatians with strife, disputes, envy, jealousy, hatred, and outbursts of anger. What Satan was saying is, I'm better than Michael and Gabriel. I'm more handsome. I have more pull than they do. I am not going to be on their level. I am above them. Don't you understand? I've seen that get in churches. I've seen it get into worship teams where somebody on the worship team all of a sudden starts getting the accolade of the congregation. Oh, honey, when you sing, it just blesses me so much. Nobody can sing like you. That other worship team, they're good, but honey, you're the very best I've ever heard. And so when they start saying things like that, it starts going to the head. It doesn't go to the heart. It goes to the head. And then you begin to think, well, you know, that's true. Nobody can quite sing like I can. And so the first news you know, you're trying to get rid of the other singers around you because you want all the glory. I've seen it on staffs, church staffs. I've seen pastors have to go through hell because the associate pastor, the youth pastor, whoever pastor, cell pastor, whoever, somebody gets to him, several people gets to him and says, honey, you can preach circles around a preacher. You are the best preacher I have ever heard. Really? Yes. Don't you know? Oh, my God. You have got a great future. Really? You know, right there, you already got one foot in the ditch and the other one slipping. Here's what I'm trying to say. That is not fact. That's flattery. That's flattery. Don't do it. And if you're on the receiving end, don't receive it. I'm going to tell you what I've told you many times. Pastor raised me up from a boy, and he said, this son, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. He said, because all you are is somebody that God laid his hand on and decided to use, but it has very little to do with you. And I believe that. I believe it to this day. You heard the other day when Jim Riley was here, he said, we know who John Kilpatrick is, but he don't know who he is. No, and I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Only thing I know is I put my britches on like other men, and I have to be operated on like other men. That will bring you down to earth pretty quick. Pastor always said, son, you're never as good as they say you are. And you're never as bad as they say you are. You're just average. And I believe it to this day. My wife will tell you, I'm that way. I'm not acting. I'm telling you the truth. That's exactly the way I believe. Somebody says, well, you're an apostle. Yeah, but you know why? Because all down through the years, there's been temptations that I could have yielded to other women. I could have yielded to other kinds of situations. That's why the Bible says there's not many apostles. You know why? Because they yield. Once people begin to realize what they've got in them, they begin to yield to that kind of flattery. Flattery will kill you. I said flattery will destroy you. It will destroy a church. It will destroy your ministry. Woo! So he said, I'm going to exalt my throne above the stars of Gabriel and Michael. In other words, I'm better than they are. Honey, once you ever start thinking you're better than somebody, if you don't humble yourself pretty quick, God will step in and do it for you. It's an iniquity drive that people have, especially leaders and preachers, singers. It's a drive in them for you to have a better opinion of them than somebody else. You know what a gossip is? How many of you want to know? Well, I'll just pass it up, then I won't tell you. You know what a gossip is? A gossip says, this person is not good like me. Take it from me. I would never do anything like that. I'm different. So let me just tell you what they've done. That's a gossip.
Listen, I hate to interrupt. We're going to come right back to this message, very now message from Pastor John Kilpatrick, Iniquity Drives. But listen, what are your thoughts? Comment below. Let us know. We want to hear what your thoughts are. And maybe it's bearing witness with you. We want to hear from you. And also, if you haven't yet, go to the VFNKB community and join in and click and be in a part. That's VFNKBcommunity.com. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Charlie Brown, Snoopy, Linus, Lucy, Peppermint Patty, and Schroeder. Unfamiliar names before October of 1950, when Charles Schulz introduced the Peanuts cartoon strip.
It was syndicated to more than 2,600 newspapers around the world, read by more than 350 million people in 75 countries.
Many of his 17,897 cartoon strips contained a reference to the Bible, as he did in one strip. Charlie Brown used the words of the teacher from Ecclesiastes 1:14 to exclaim, "All is vanity." It said the margins of Charles Schulz's personal Bible were filled with handwritten notes. And as a longtime Sunday school teacher, he led one group through a study of the entire Old Testament.
Charles Schulz, engaging the Bible, drawing attention to what he said are the important things in life.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
So now you got racists blaming each other. You got police blaming the people blaming the police. You got parents blaming children, children blaming parents. When are we going to seek his face? When are we going to turn?
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
A gossip builds themselves up, makes somebody else look bad, and makes themselves look just pure and spotless in your eyes. Number three, Satan said, I will sit on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. This is where God would sit when he came down to judge. All eyes could see God, and he would receive their praise and their glory. And Satan said, I want that place. I want that place. He has that place, but I want that place. I've been a presbyter before with the Assemblies of God, and I've had to deal with church trouble along with the Assemblies of God board of directors and presbyters. I pastored for a long, long time, and I have seen associate pastors and others on in the church want the place of the pastor. And Satan said, I want that place. An associate said, I want that place where the pastor's got. I want to be front and center. I want to be the pastor. I want all eyes on me. I want to preach every Sunday. Where is that found in Galatians? It's found under lasciviousness and sensuality. When a person dresses or talks in such a way that they draw attention to themselves, it's lasciviousness and it's sensuality. And it's Satan said, I want God's place. I want the attention on me. They have to look just right. Have to have their clothes just right. They have to be perfect in their own opinion. They're perfectionist type people. Some pastors want to be center and the center of attention. Many want a great ministry, or they don't want a ministry at all. They set themselves up. They want to have the right words at the right time for everybody. But it's not to draw their love and affection toward the Lord. It's to draw their love and affection toward me, because I want to be seen and I want to be heard. They're driven to be seen and recognized. And there's people in church, they die for camera time. They want to be on camera. And they want that camera on them. If they're singing, no matter what they do, they know that camera's on them. And they love that FaceTime. They want to be seen. They want to be heard. And Satan said, I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. The fourth thing he said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Let me say this to you real quickly. In life and in your Christian life, God has a place for you. Everybody has a place for me. I had an old preacher say to me one time, did you struggle to get where you are, or did you ascend? He said, if God is with you and the Lord has anointed you to do what you're doing, he'll cause you to ascend with no effort. And when you get there, you can maintain that position and nobody can take it away from you. But if you struggle to get to that position, you'll have to struggle to keep it. And you'll always be suspicious of anybody that you feel like can knock you off your place. So he said, did you rise up or did you ascend? I've never forgot that. Because any place that God tries to put me, I have to make sure I ascend there and not struggle to get there. Because if you struggle to get there, you're going to have to struggle to hang on to it. And it ain't worth it. So Satan wasn't willing to face reality. He wasn't willing to face the reality that God had a prescription for him. It's a prescription. God prescribed him under the clouds. And Satan said, no, I'm going above the clouds. God said, no, below the clouds. I have prescribed this for your life and for your ministry. You're to be below the clouds. Satan said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. He wasn't satisfied with what God had prescribed for his life and his ministry. And I want to ask you this question. You're watching me by television. You're watching me by live streaming. Or you're here. Are you struggling to get somewhere that God never prescribed for you? If you're struggling to get to a place that God never prescribed for you, I would really recommend that you back off. God was, or Satan wasn't willing that his rulership and placement was confined to a certain area. But he said, no, I'm not happy with that anymore. I want to go there. How many of you knows, if you ever struggle and try to get above the clouds, there's a devil there with a sword and he's going to snap your head off. You just can't see it. If you're trying to marry somebody that God never prescribed for you, you're going to live a bad life and you're going to live a broken life because God never prescribed that individual for you. You're trying to stick your head above the clouds and God said, no, I've got something else for you. How many of you knows we've got to make it a priority what God wants for us and not what we want for ourselves? Have to. You know what adultery is? You know what adultery is? You know what having an affair is? It's not being satisfied with married life as you've been used to it. And you're thinking, I'm better than she is. I'm better than he is. I deserve better. And you're pursuing an affair and you're not willing to stay with the one that God's prescribed for you. To be the mother of your children, the father of your children. You're not willing to stay with that person. You've seen greener pastures. And you're saying, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. God can't tell me who to marry. I beg your pardon. They can't take the reality of what God has prescribed for them. They can't take that reality. I've always tried my best in life and in the ministry to be content wherever God's put me. Because once you lose your ability to be contented, you're trying to climb above the clouds and there's something waiting on you up there that's going to knock you back down. I don't want to be knocked back down. I want God to help me ascend and not climb. Is that good? You know what drug addiction is? You know what drug addiction is? You know what alcohol is? Is trying to enter into a feeling and a world that God never prescribed for you. Every time you get a little bit of pressure, you got to go to the bottle. You know what? God prescribes pressure for you to make a man out of you. God will prescribe pressure to you to make a woman of God out of you. If you never know the victory of going through a battle and you resort to alcohol, that means alcohol has become your God.
Listen, I hate to interrupt. We're going to come right back to this message, very now message from Pastor John Kilpatrick, Iniquity Drives. But listen, what are your thoughts? Comment below. Let us know. We want to hear what your thoughts are. And maybe it's bearing witness with you. We want to hear from you. And also, if you haven't yet, go to the VFNKB community and join in and click and be in a part. That's VFNKBcommunity.com. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
I'm not the Son of God because you say I am. I'm the Son of God because God says I am. I'm not confident because of what I can do. I'm confident because of what God says He will do. I'm not forgiven because I've earned acceptance. I'm forgiven because God says He has forgiven. Help me preach. I'm not going to do it because I think I can. I'm doing it because God said I could. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Привет!
Здравствуйте!
Мрахо!
I received a shoebox gift
when I was 5 years old.
I was 9 years old and I received my shoebox.
The shoebox brought a lot of hope to me.
It reminded me that I was loved and that God loved me.
I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
And that changed my life.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracias. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is packing shoeboxes.
They really do change lives.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Sometimes it can even be a religious experience. Yeah. Oh, Brother Kilpatrick, I shook for 12 days. Okay, that's good. But when I quit shaking, I was so disappointed. Now I want to shake some more. Okay, that's good too. But don't let shaking be the issue. Let the Holy Spirit and the glory of God be the issue. Don't get into signs and manifestations and feelings. Those things will pass. It gets your mind a lot of times off of the things of God. Listen, those things are good. Falling out in the Spirit is good. Speaking in tongues is good. But it can become addictive and lead you away from the things of the Lord and make you vulnerable to heresy. I'm preaching better than y'all acting. Finally, the last one. I got to quit because I've gone way over. The last one is Satan said, I will be like the Most High. Oh, I want to talk about this just for a minute. What the devil was saying is, I want to sit where God sits. That's what got him. That's what got him. When Satan said, and God saw it, God don't deserve to be God anymore. I'm going to take over. That's what he was saying. You know what you do? When you become the type of person that nobody can disagree with you, you're trying to set yourself up in a place to where you're saying, nobody can disagree with me. I'm always right. Oh, shut up. Shut up. That is arrogance if I've ever heard it. I'm always right. No, you're not. Matter of fact, you're an arrogant, pompous rascal. And nobody can stand you. They just haven't got the guts to tell you that. But I got the guts to tell you that. And I'm not looking at any person either. He said, I will take over. God doesn't deserve to be God. I can do a better job. I'm going to take over. Where does that fit in the book of Galatians? Idolatry. You know what happens in idolatry? It means it's usually set something other than God up to be worshipped, and it's usually you. It's usually you. You want people to worship you. You want your wife to not be able to disagree with you whatsoever. You want your board to not be able to raise up anything against you because you're one of these pastors that feel like you've always got to be right. And if you disagree with me, you're in rebellion. That is not true. This type of person becomes secretive. They become aloof. They begin to act strange and walk slow. Like, I've got revelation. I honestly believe everything I just told you, and I may have told you with a lot of humor, even some sarcasm, but I feel like you need to hear what I said. But you know, these are just some things that I can tell the way things are going in Washington, and the way things, see, it's like a toilet overflowing. The toilet's overflowing in Washington, and it's trying to work its way into our churches. And it's trying to work its way into our families. And I want you to be aware of it. Y'all with me? Let me close like this. Let me just say this. I'm going to lead us all in prayer. I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward. For this reason, I think that the message has been so straightforward, I don't think anybody wants to stand and say, you know, I've got this and I've got this in my life. I wouldn't want to, but I'm going to lead us all in prayer. But I believe everything I preached, tried to mix it with humor to make it digestible. But this is where we are in America. You remember I told you before the election? You remember the Lord gave me those prophetic words? You remember what I said? I said, President Trump will be elected, but people all over the world would say, I have never seen anything like this before. And that's before he's elected. But the Lord told me, he said, the world will say, the nations of the earth will say, I've never seen anything like this before. but it's really only getting started. We've got to that place now. We've got to the core, and it's really going to begin to show up now. And you remember I told you when I was preaching that President had been dealing with Ahab, but Jezebel's about to step out? Oh, my God. That's exactly what's about to happen again. Jezebel is about to step out. You won't believe how she's going to expose herself out of the shadows. We'll pull out all the stops, and this nation will be horrified. Amen. Stand with me, please. I want you to pray this prayer with me and pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, I want to be pleasing to you, Lord. I want you to be my Lord, my Savior, and my best friend. But Lord, after hearing Pastor this morning, I have heard your Spirit speak to me. And there's definitely things that I need to pull to the cross. I need to crucify it. I need to put my flesh on that cross. Lord, I don't want to be one of those in this hour that will be susceptible to that Antichrist deceptive spirit. I want to be ready, Lord, when you come, and I want to be prepared in every way. Should I die or should Jesus come? Lord, forgive me of every sin. And I pray that you'd lay the axe to the root of every iniquity drive in my life. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
Well, I really hope you enjoyed this message as much as we did and others did. You know, it's a powerful thing. Be sure to support, you know, Church of His Presence, Pastor John Kilpatrick, John Kilpatrick Ministries, a powerful apostle of God. It's a now word. As a matter of fact, comment below. I want to hear your thoughts. Let us know how this message has impacted you, how it has encouraged you, and set you free in your mindset. You no longer have to be captive to sin because Christ has come to set us free. In Jesus' name, comment below. We want to hear from you. Let me pray for you right now before you go out. Father God, I just pray right now a blessing over our audience. I just speak freedom, that the axe would be laid to the root of the iniquity drive in Jesus' name. Father God, that your blood, I pray the blood of Jesus over each and every one, that they would be set free in Jesus' name. And dear God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Don't forget, we want to see you in the VFNKB community. God bless. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.